The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad day, the broken day, the bad apple, the bad attitude, hanging around, but bad out, a bad day, bad law, bad day, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Farrell of Palaisia, right across the river through the woods where Granny loves her little 9-pound hammer in New York City. The Big Apple, ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic in some kind of fashion, shake it up, you do. But all my friends that come around, fight to flood the party. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, with a mess of times of dead, every brain splattered all over my hands, should it be shake out? Ooh, woo, woo. I think I'm on a car, sign from K. Yeah, should do that. Yeah, woo, woo. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell, along with your boy Mafia tonight. And I was noticing because I had a big fat parlay going tonight in hockey, and I was in really big trouble with it because the Penguins were down 4-2, you know, in the third period to the loser Flyers. And they were in big trouble with about 8 minutes left. But then Jay Kensel shot a power play goal at 12:36 to make it 4-3. And then less than 30 seconds later, Rue Uddle with a goal from Heinen and Carter to tie it up. And then Chris Letang unassisted 30 seconds into overtime. And the Penguins win it 5-4 over the loser Flyers. I banged it out with the Blues and Lightning on a three-way. Counting money with my tongue. Check out, ooh, check out, ooh, check out, ooh. Also, the Sabres doubled up the Islanders 6-3. Got that score right today, Mafia, except the wrong team. I go, I think the Islanders will win that game 6-3. Rangers, I got that right as well. In a shootout 2-1 over the Bruins. Let's see if I got any pieces of that right.
Yeah, that one was a crazy
finish.
How
about that shootout? What was that?
Well, first of all, before they even get to the shootout, with 40 seconds, well, before that, there's like a minute or something left in overtime, they get a goaltender interference as Smith crashes into Shesterkin, and then play continues, things go on, and then all of a sudden, with 40 seconds left in overtime after a stoppage, they send the trainer upstairs and say, all right, go yank Igor, we're worried about him having a concussion. With 40 seconds left in overtime, and the guy's been playing for like a minute after that, so he gets all pissed off, runs off to the locker room. Georgiev comes in, luckily doesn't have to make any saves, and then they go to the shootout, and somehow Shesterkin's cleared back in there for the shootout, and it goes to 9 rounds before Kadri Miller ends up finishing it.
Yeah. He scored in the 9th round.
His first ever shootout, and he scores to win it.
You know, like, I think it was the anniversary of the Oshie goal in the Olympics against the Russians where it went eight overtimes. You know, eight shootout goals? Shots, like, whatever you want to call it.
He took, what, like five of them?
Yeah. But he scored the winner. We welcome our radio affiliates to the program this evening. Congratulations for finding us. Sirius XM, channel 159. Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in San Diego. Near Tijuana, do you wanna? Sports Map Radio and Sports Byline USA. Armed forces all over the globe. Give me a getting ready for World War III in Ukraine starting tomorrow with Russia against the United States and their NATO partners. Good luck, everyone, as the world's ending. As long as Sports Grid's on, we'll all be okay. Guy walked up to me in the gym today, and he said, in the locker room, I was just walking in at, I don't know, 8:15 in the morning or something like that. And guy says to me, hey, I saw you on TV. And I said, is that right? And the guy said, yeah, like, what is that? Like some kind of gambling network? I go, well, yeah, it's a sports betting network. And we do fantasy, too. He's like, erotic fantasy? I'm like, yes. And he goes, well, I thought your show was awesome. I go, thank you. You should watch longer because you'll get the, you know, the fantasy end of it cleared up for yourself. I thought that was pretty cool. Also today, our boy Pittsburgh Consigliere Sharapan texted us in the middle of the Coast to Coast show, and he was in a restaurant in Vegas, and they also were big fans of Sports Grid and Pharrell Coast to Coast and had it airing in the restaurant. I thought that was cool. A lot happened today. There's a lot of crazy games going on and wild finishes. We got everything else. We'll keep our eyes on everything. Late night starts. Wisconsin, Indiana going on right now in Bloomington. You get it all on a bench.
You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever gotten rabies from trying to get a fresh rabbit's foot, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench with Scott Pharrell.
So anyway, this morning I had a little bit of a problem where I was taking my son to school, right? And so here's the deal. I take my son to school every day, and my hot wife takes my daughter to school because they go to two different schools. And I mean, my job is to take him, and then I go hit the gym, you know, knock down shots, lift, swim, whatever, work out. And then, you know, that's how I roll in the morning. And so this morning I go down the street, I'm driving toward the school, blah, blah, blah. And then they got a road closure. And I'm like, all right, here we go, detour. So they detour me and everyone else through this neighborhood, right, like where people live. So you're driving on this main road toward the school. It's a pretty big school. And then they detour us into this neighborhood where I've never been in before. No problem. It's a, you know, quiet neighborhood, nice neighborhood, nice houses, whatever. And we're winding through this thing. And then all of a sudden I hit, you know, this, you know, bottom line wall of traffic. And I mean, it is just absolutely dead stop and not moving. I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm just not moving at all. I'm just sitting there and I'm kind of prepping the show at this point because I'm just not moving. I'm like doing stories and getting things ready for Mafia and Carver High, and I'm doing my show prep, and I'm just not moving. And I'm like, what the Pharrell? I'm like, what is Pharrell inhabiting here? And now, like, you know, all I have to do is get like a little bit, you know, just a little bit aggravated or agitated, and it just kind of throws my son off. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a fan of when I start getting angry. And he's just not into it. He's like a mellow dude, and he's just not into, you know, he's cool, but he's just not into when I get mad. And I'm like, what? I go, what the Pharrell is happening here? And I'm looking, and I look, and there's like 500 cars in front of me. I'm looking down the street, and I'm looking, it's going down and up, and I look at the top of this hill, and I see this car. I'm like, there must be 250, 300, 400 cars between me and this car at the top of the hill. So 45 minutes goes by. I'm still like 20 deep. I finally get to the top of the hill, and it lets out onto this main road, this very busy road. And they come from both directions, and people go into the school. And every day of the year, they have cops there that let people in. So if they're coming from one side of this busy road, they wave them into the school, and the other side waits. And then when he lets them go, the other side waits. You get it. But how about these stupid ass moron cops? They never posted anyone at the street where all the people were being detoured. They just kept dealing with the people on the main road, but they detoured everyone off into this neighborhood so that they could wind around and get to the main road. But then when you got to the main road, no one would let you out because it's a G-damn freeway. So no one could get out. They never started school till 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting there for like an hour. And then I finally, just so the audience can better understand who I am, I drove up, and when I finally got to the cop at the entrance to the school, I rolled down my window and I said, man, you guys really Pharrelled that one up today, didn't you there, Chief? I mean, you guys really Pharrelled that one up, didn't you? I mean, you guys did a great job today effing that up for everybody. Nice job, toothpick. I said it right to his face. I'm like, what are you going to do, arrest me? You male organ, stupid ass, you idiot. Like, how dumb do you have to be to cause that chaos? And then, how about this? It gets even better. It's the PSC and G or whatever, the electric company or whatever the hell it is. And they got like a power outage on the main street, right? So they decide that they're going to fix it when the entire area, I mean, like thousands of people drive to this school. You understand? Why didn't you just wait 10 minutes till school started and then do it when no one's on the streets? I mean, this thing, they converge on this school like, you know, the end of the earth. And then once they go into school, there's not one car within miles of the place. When school starts, the road's empty. These stupid asses. I drove past where they were fixing it. I swear to God, I laid on my horn at all the cops. I stuck my hand out the window. I double-fisted fingers right at all of their faces from 15 feet away. Looked right at them, and I gave them both double birds. And I don't give a flying F. I'm like, Jesus, how stupid are these? I mean, you wonder why they call them pigs, idiots. I'm serious. Like, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, how stupid are you people? What do you mean, you people? The rest of my day went well, Mafia. I just wanted to say that it actually inspired me to lift more weights today. I did way more weightlifting than usual when I'm angry. Don't judge him by this meeting alone. He's normally a really nice guy. My son was scared to death of me. I'm like, I looked at the one guy. I'm just like, how stupid are you dudes? I mean, honestly, like, are you guys really this stupid? I mean, like, you guys have this up real juicy, real good and juicy, didn't you? Guy looked at me like I had pizza on my face. I'm like, I hope you freeze your D off. It was like 5 degrees outside. I hated the guy. I don't even know him. I hate him dead. Avi's a lot nicer to the police because he's wanted in 5 states. He tries to maintain a low, kind of an anonymity thing. He just doesn't get involved when I start yelling at the popo. You know, Mafia typically will lay down. He'll lay down in the seat and pretend like he's not in the car, which is a nice move. The problem is he's 6'5", 250 pounds. So he thinks he's hiding, but he actually is in full view. But whenever there's cops, Mafia ducks low, and I just never wanted to break his heart and let him know that they can still see him. He's like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's Jabbar. Really? So I was very upset this morning, I got to tell you. And tomorrow, if I go and they're still like shut down that street, I swear to God, I promise you, I'm going to do a U-E and my son's not going to school.
I'm surprised he still gets frazzled. I mean, he's grown up around you his whole life that he gets worked up when you get worked up. I mean, that should be second nature to him right now. He's getting pissed off.
Well, it is, but he just doesn't want me to do it. You understand? Like, so he saw me roll down the window.
Doesn't want you to embarrass him.
I'm sitting there trying to get out onto this highway, and I couldn't make the left because no one will let you out. And then I'm like willing to risk life and limb to finally cut off like cars doing 60 coming from both directions. And I peeled out and got in the line. And then when I peeled out and got in the line and cut a bunch of people off and they all slammed on their horns and I gave them all the finger, then I rolled down my window and he knew when I rolled down my window, when I was getting close to the cop, that I was going to say something. He's like, don't do it. He's like, don't do it. Just don't say anything. Please don't say anything. And I just wasn't listening to him. He has no say, just so we're clear. He has no say in my process, like in terms of the day. He just doesn't get it yet. He hasn't figured out yet that I don't listen to him. One of these days he'll get used to it and realize I don't listen to him. He listens to me. Who do they trust? Me, that's who. Who do they want? Me, that's who. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
So Rick Haro is, he called Mafia today and he said tomorrow he's going to do the show from just like right on the runway at the Phoenix airport as the planes are landing and taking off. I mean to tell you. I'm allowed to make fun of Haro. I've known him longer than anyone. His existence is because of me. In life, and I'm like his son, and I don't know what was going on there, but there was a lot happening there, and like I heard just a lot of things happening there at the Super Bowl in the stadium in the middle of the game with, there was only 70,000 people there, and just, I thought, Mafia, you should call him up, and so Mafia called him up and said, well, you should do the Wednesday shows from on, on the runway. At the airport, so we can get full, 747s, 787s, all the planes, just the biggest engines. How did that work out, Mavi? Like, he thought it was a good idea?
Yeah, it wasn't as good as the idea he had there doing it from the stadium, which I don't think it was even the stands. I feel like that was in one of the houses while Snoop Dogg, Eminem, and Dre were performing. One of those houses on the field that they had.
Yeah. I don't know what was happening there, but I remember watching him. He was doing some of those things at Radio Row, right? Like, so he walked over, there's, 10,000 people there. He walked over to like a table that was empty in the middle of 10,000 people. And he props up this phone he's got like a like some kind of a clamp, and he hooks it up, and then he just films himself. And he's got this big phone. It's like a movie theater phone. And he does all those videos. That's how he does it. And I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, boy, that's not easy doing it right in there with, you know, thousands of people screaming and yelling all around you. I was just like, what is happening here? I mean, you know, when I do it, when I do it at night there at the Super Bowl, there's nobody there. Like, the day's over. Like, there's not 10,000 people. Now, when I did the TV show, we actually were on this gigantic Sirius XM set, which was the stage in this gigantic compound that they had at the Super Bowl. And I was on the best stage money could buy. And then we used NFL headsets where you can't hear anything else around you. And the mics only pick up the voice that the headset's connected to. It doesn't really absorb the outside influences and crowd. It just picks up the guy talking, and the guy talking has his ears covered with these headsets, and all he can hear is the broadcast. You get that, Mafia. You understand how it works. So I don't have those problems. He was just doing it like raw dog, like doing it right in front of a camera, and just right in the middle of thousands of people. And I was like, this has just got to be difficult to actually pull off. And, you know, today on Coast to Coast, I said Villanova, Providence, it was 4.5, right? And they lose by 5, Providence. You remember, Mavia, word for word, I said, I took Providence and the 4.5, they lost. And I said, if they lose this game, it just goes to show you that they're not going anywhere in the NCAA tournament. I mean, you're at home. You're a 4.5-point dog to Villanova at home. You got to win the game. You just have to win that game. And I mean to tell you that, you know, losing that game, for me, Mafia, just says it all. Now, I know all these people think Cooley's team is really good, and the reality of it is they just aren't. They're good. They're not great at all. And I mean, they're a decent team that can win games, and they're tough to play, and they can give you problems. But at the end of the day, really good teams are going to beat them.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, when you get to the top echelon, I mean, they've beat some good teams in the, you know, ranked teams like Xavier and Marquette. But, I mean, when you're playing Villanova, this is your chance to show that, you know, put the rest of the conference on notice. Like, listen, we're going to contend for this. If you can't beat Villanova, you can't win the Big East, and you can't really make that noise, because they have been the perennial, you know, champion of that conference since Jay Wright's been there. And, you know, you put a good performance against them, but not a great one because you didn't win. And that's what matters.
You didn't win. You didn't cover. You didn't do anything. I mean, it's real simple. You can't beat good teams. I mean, good teams, not like average good teams, you know, like that are just, you know, really good teams you can't beat. You can beat good teams, not really good teams. I mean, that's what it boils down to. I mean, let's get down to the gist of it. This is in the NCAA tournament. Everyone that makes it is a good team. And then there's really good teams. And then there's great teams. And those heavyweight teams are the ones that are going to make the Final Four, not good teams. Good teams aren't making it. Really good teams will have a problem making it. Great teams will be the ones that make it. And remember, when, like, Loyola made it to the Final Four, they were playing great basketball. They weren't just a good team or a really good team. They were a great team that was hot. So when those small schools make it, it's because of being so hot that you're like a pancake on a skillet hot. I mean, you know, just coals on the fire. Simple as that. So I said it today on TV. They lose this game. That's all you need to know, that they're not for real. And I told you today that Indiana, if they go 2-4 down the stretch, they're not going to make the tournament. They have struggled mightily. It's amazing to me how people, you know, I mean, the bottom line is people act like Indiana's a good team. And the reality is that I mean, they're 16-8. They're not that good. They got smoked Saturday by Michigan State. They got beat at Northwestern. Illinois beat the absolute urine out of them. I mean, they killed them. I mean, I mean, what more do you need to know? It's like every game. All they do is lose. Michigan beat their ass. I mean, I'll give them this. They beat Purdue in Bloomington. I almost fell over. They beat Penn State and Maryland. So Farrell and what? If they don't beat Wisconsin tonight, they're up 5 with 12 minutes left. They got, and all they have left is Ohio State at Columbus. They're not winning that game. They play Maryland again in Bloomington. They absolutely, unequivocally have to win that game. Remember, they won at Maryland. They have to beat them. Minnesota, they play at Minnesota. Minnesota is a 2-game-over-500 team that they have to beat. They have to beat. And I will not be surprised at all if they go there and lose. They play Rutgers in Bloomington. I will bet my life Rutgers beats them. I mean, honestly, Rutgers is a better team than Indiana. They win all these big games. And when they go to when they go to West Lafayette to finish the season on the 5th of April or the 5th of March, they're going to get whacked by Purdue because they beat Purdue. They beat Purdue in Bloomington. They're not beating Purdue in West Lafayette. It always happens the same way. The bloodletting happens every year. You go there and play them, you're losing. So, now a fight breaks out. Indiana and Wisconsin are throwing haymaker, 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 haymaker. Well done, whatever. Mike Woodson is livid. He's coming over to his player and telling him to sit his ass down. Sit his ass down. You are sitting down, son. You are not in charge here. He's talking to him. You are not. Who do you think you are? He's lighting him up. Mike Woodson is just defacing this kid. I have to see it start up. It really was, I think, drama. I think it was incidental. It was nothing major. He was trying to get through a screen. And it was all fake. That was phony. That was an absolute phony drama flop. It was Indiana, the kid flopped. It was all fake. He acted like he got his arm cut off, but nothing happened to him. And then there was like an argument. And you know where the argument was from? Like the kid from Wisconsin was like, who are you kidding, bro? And who are you kidding? And then it started up like chirping, chirp, chirp, chirp. And then Woodson came over and he said, grow up. Grow the F up. Go sit down. You're an idiot. That is exactly what just happened. I need Indiana to win this game. I bet on Wisconsin, I'll be honest. But I'm an Indiana grad and fan. I like Indiana. But I have to tell you, I'll tell you when I really like Indiana, when they're in the NCAA tournament in the Elite Eight, Final Four. And then I really love Indiana. The rest of the time, I give a rat's ass. Because I'm just too old. I don't care anymore about Indiana. I just don't care. I'm like, whatever. They lose. Like, do you think I lose sleep when Indiana loses a basketball game? I could care less. You know how long? I got out in 1987 from Indiana University. I mean, it's 97, 207, 217. It's been 35 years. 35 years since I was in Bloomington. I mean, like, who cares? Although, if I went back, I bet I could pick up a lot of chicks. I'm going there in the spring with my son. He wants to check it out. He's still going to end up going to San Diego State because there's way better ass there.
When it comes to getting trusted sports gaming strategies and info, you can ask your dumb friend Kevin. Duh! Or you can just listen to us. We recommend us. And we won't ask to borrow your car either. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
All right, Farrell on the Bench. So another one tonight that really threw me off was Michigan State losing to Penn State. I mean, honestly, I mean, come on. You're playing a team that's 9-12 and you lose to them on the road. Now, I know it's hard to win on the road in the Big Ten, but you cannot lose to a team that's 9-12 when you're a legitimate ranked team in college basketball and you're going to be a high seed in the NCAA tournament. That is amazing to me that they blew that game. It was tied at the half. They lost by four. I think it's embarrassing. I mean, it is just like, that has to, I mean, Izzo's not even, he's got agita. He can't even sleep. He can't even sleep tonight. He's going to have acid reflux after watching that team of his. You know, and I got to tell you, like, I've watched him play. And they started the second half with an 8-0 run. They were up 43-29, and they lost. I mean, you have got to be kidding me. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, they talk about they're holding opponents to 40% shooting. Apparently not. Michigan State hosts Illinois on Saturday. They lost to them by one at Champaign-Urbana. I remember watching the game. I hit Michigan State with the points. But honestly, you know, watching them tonight lose to Penn State is all I need to know. That's it. That's all I need to know. They're not winning the NCAA championship. They're not going to the Final Four. They don't matter. When you're 19-7 and you can't beat a 10-12 team, I don't even care if it's conference. I don't care if they play with snowballs and not basketballs. You have to win that game. That's it. There's nothing else to say. And I've watched them before, and they've just been average and flat and, like, you know, insignificant. Like, 10 trips down the floor, they get a bucket twice. I'm like, they're just not that good. They don't have any pure shooters that can knock it down, mid-range or otherwise. I just don't buy Michigan State. Thank you. Good night. I mean, honestly. Kent State with a huge upset tonight, bottom line, if you ask me. Kent State's tough. They're 16-9 now, but they beat, you know, a team that was 20-5 in Toledo. Toledo's a really good team, and they got beat. And they got beat at home, no less. Kent State went there and beat them. That is an enormous win for Kent State. They've won 7 in a row. I mean, that's just a really big win. I know some people may not care about that. I'm telling you, Toledo's going to the NCAA tournament. And that's just all there is to it. I hit the Wake Forest spread on Coast to Coast today. Remember it was 10.5? I go, they'll win by a bucket at best. 76-74 Duke. Now, the big story in that game was Mike Krzyzewski left the game after he fell ill during the game. He didn't coach after halftime. That was it. They got a dunk, like a tip in after a, like, Mark Williams tipped in. He dunked a Banchero miss with no time left on the clock, 0.4, 0.2, whatever it was. And they looked at it over and over to see if it was, you know, on the rim still, and it wasn't. And Duke, of course, as usual, wins again by 2 at home over Wake Forest. Here's what I think happens. I think Notre Dame wins tomorrow against BC, kills them. And then Saturday, they go to Winston-Salem. They're going to lose to Wake Forest. And, I mean, Notre Dame's won 9 of 10. They're playing great basketball. They're tied atop the ACC. Bottom line, they're playing great basketball. Notre Dame's going to the tournament. Count on that. San Diego State is up 31-26 on Utah State right now. That's a good game. Irvine leads San Diego, UC San Diego. There's two different San Diegos. UC San Diego and San Diego. The Toreros are the one. And then TCU leads Iowa State with 5.5 minutes to go. 47-45, good game going on in Fort Worth. DePaul leads Butler by 5. I laid 4 with DePaul today. Colorado smoking Oregon State. I told you that was going to happen today, that Oregon State is hairdryer city, 79-59. Arkansas blowing out Missouri, 65-48 with 4.5 minutes to go. Wyoming is losing at New Mexico. They're in trouble, down 4 with 7.5 minutes to go. The Indiana lead is 4 with just under 9 minutes to go. Now a 3 by the Badgers, air ball. And Kentucky is getting whacked at Tennessee right now by 15. That surprises me. I mean, it really does. When is the last time you saw Kentucky get whacked? The worst loss I saw them have was Auburn by 9. I mean, I think Kentucky's legit. I really do. I'm surprised they're down 15 to Tennessee. Now, I think Tennessee's a decent team. They're ranked. I mean, Kentucky's ranked 4th. Tennessee's ranked 16th. Tennessee's 18-6. Kentucky's 21-4. I'm surprised. I really am. I really am. So, tons of other games. Ohio State crushed Minnesota. I told you Minnesota's absolutely atrocious. 70-45 Buckeyes. Missouri State beat Indiana State. Indiana State covered, though. They were getting 13. They lost by 9. Bradley lost at Southern Illinois by 8. Northern Iowa beat Illinois State. I told you on Coast to Coast today that take Illinois State in the 3.5. They lost by 2. Double cover there. Northern Iowa had to win. Illinois State plus the 3.5. NC State won at Georgia Tech. Big. Florida lost to A&M. Can you believe that? A&M finally wins a game. Like, they've been awful, but they win 56-55 over a real average Gator team. You know, it's amazing to me. Both those teams are 16-10. And I got to be honest with you. Like, what happened to Florida basketball? You remember when they used to matter and win national championships? I mean, I know they're. I know Donovan's in the NBA, but I mean, honestly, they have fallen off the map in football and basketball. I mean, really, I mean, they've turned into nothing. South Carolina beat Ole Miss in overtime on a half-court shot. I think that's how they beat them. VCU beat Fordham by 5. They didn't cover. Liberty lost. They were laying 8. Tulane beat South Florida. Iona won by 9. Hofstra won big. How about Hofstra? They beat up on Elon 97-64. Hofstra's 18-9 out on Strong Island. They mean business. Memphis 81-74 over Cincinnati. Texas beat Oklahoma and Norman in overtime. I gave you everything else. So that is absolutely crazy. Anyway, I saw some stuff earlier. Giannis dropped 50 on the Pacers. He had 50. The first time he's done it since game 6 of the finals. But he did it tonight. The Bucks, they only won by 9, though. They didn't cover. I mean, I don't know what's worse, them not covering or them winning. You know, like they win one game of every 5 that they play. I mean, I know it's not that bad, but they punt games. Like last night, they got their ass beat. Tonight, they win by 9, and they play at home against the crappy Pacers, and they can't cover the number. I think it was like 11.5. It moved to like 14. They can't cover or win regularly in this. You know why? They just punt games. They don't even care. They don't even try. The Bucks don't even try, in my opinion, to win games. And I know everyone's like, oh, I can't believe the guy just said he won the NBA championship. The guy retired with the champions. I'm not even going to listen to that. This guy's crazy. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, honestly, I mean, it's like last night the Blazers beat him 122-107. Before that, the Suns blew him out 131-107. I mean, I know they win games. I'm not stupid. I know they win games. But they punt games. The Nuggets beat them by 36. The Cavaliers beat them by 16. I mean, the Hawks beat them, and the Hawks have stunk. The Raptors beat them. The Hornets beat them twice in a row on a Saturday, Monday in early January. I mean, the Raptors beat them, you know, early January. The Pistons beat them. I mean, honestly, you got to be kidding. I mean, those teams suck. And they beat the Bucks because the Bucks throw games. They do. They just punt games. They're like, we don't even care. We're getting paid millions. We're the champs. Kiss my ass. We're not trying tonight. I mean, they do it all the time. Have you ever seen anything like it, Mafia? A championship team that won the title, go out the next year, and I mean, they win. I mean, it's like they lose more than they win. They just don't even care. I mean, they go out and they just take nights off. You can't even deny it.
No, there's no denying it. And honestly, it's become a trend. You know, we've seen it before with wrestling guys before and not really, you know, playing your stars all the time to make sure they're ready for the postseason. But it's become bigger and bigger, you know. And when you have the Lakers did it, you know, LeBron, the Nets have been doing it, even though they haven't won a title with their guys. When they're the big three, they're always wrestling guys. You know, you've seen Kawhi do it in Toronto and L.A. so often now, just over and over, that they just don't care, and they'll rest star players. As long as you make the playoffs in a good position, I think the big thing for the Bucks is that they realized we don't need to have home court. Once they found out how to win on the road last year against the Nets, they said, screw it. Why do we need home court? We just need to be healthy. We'll play wherever, and we'll still beat you. And, you know, that's the mentality you have. And we've seen the Heat have done it all over and over times. Spurs, it's been a growing trend over the last decade of resting guys. And it's so frustrating as a, you know, fan. Even more frustrating as a bettor, because half the time you don't even get it announced until 5 minutes before the game. So that's why I really only live game bet NBA now, because you never know. I mean, what did we find out? I know they won the game anyway, but we found out, what, like 10 minutes before the game started, that John Morant wasn't playing for the Grizzlies today?
Yeah, I didn't even know, but I swear to God, I didn't even know. This guy, Davison, for Wisconsin, he was the one that got in a fight earlier. He just tied the game with free throws, and now Indiana has lead. But he proposed to his girlfriend. She said yes. She played at Indiana and is now a coach at, like, Wisconsin, Milwaukee or something. She's like, she played at IU, and now she's marrying this guy that played at Wisconsin. I mean, she must be crazy. Her loyalty should be to Indiana. She played there. Meanwhile, she's like marrying some guy from Wisconsin, and she coaches at Wisconsin, Milwaukee. She's clearly a traitor. I mean, she's just a traitor, backstabber. She's kind of good looking, but I still don't like her. She went to the dark side. It's Pharrell on a bench. With people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
So Indiana leads Wisconsin by four. Davison and this Parker Stewart are going back and forth with each other. They're the two that fought earlier. Davison's the guy that proposed to the chick. Davison has hit some enormous free throws and enormous threes to get Wisconsin tied a couple times. Now they're down four. They miss now, and Indiana has the rock with 4 minutes left in Bloomington. They need this win. They're 7-7 in conference. Wisconsin's 10-4 in conference, 19-5 overall. Indiana's 16-8. Everybody says they need to, you know, win three of their, at least three or four of their remaining games. There's six games left. So it's 65-61 Hoosiers right now. And it's a pretty good game. Rowdy crowd, Bloomington, the whole deal. It's funny, they refurbished Assembly Hall from when I went to school there, and I was there for really all, you know, certainly part of their glory years in 87 when they won the national championship at the Superdome in New Orleans, beating Syracuse on a Keith Smart shot at the buzzer. Bottom line, you know, at the end of the game, and they were down 13 with 3 minutes to go, and they won the game. This year's Final Four is in New Orleans at the same place, and certainly Indiana won't be there. If they get in the tournament, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be one and done. They might win one game at best, if that. This is a big win if they can finish this off. I mean, there's still 4 minutes left. They could lose this game. So if they win the game, it helps them tremendously. But I'm still not sold on Indiana hoops. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what happened to the Sixers tonight.